Thank you very much, and thank you again for inviting us to speak to you and speak to the issues that are dear to our hearts. In a way, I would not normally approach such an issue from a quarantined angle like the moderator wants me to deal with, but from a general perspective, because we represent those who are in perpetual labor. Having said that, it is also critical that we, when we say those who are in labor or those who are working, there is this tendency of pointing a finger at some people who are toiling outside, working on the roads and what have you, forgetting that everyone who goes to his bank at the end of the month to receive a salary is a worker. And if we take it from that perspective, then we know that wherever you are, you and me, we deserve decent work. Whether you are a head of state, whether you are an MP, whether you are a cleaner, houseminder, we deserve decent work. Hence, I was very excited when I saw the theme of this meeting, that creating decent jobs for poverty eradication through post-2015. Well, there is a critical issue that we always want to avoid, deliberately or otherwise. That is the aspect of who decides as to whether or not jobs are decent. And from our kindergarten perspective, the decider is the way our people are living. That's the decider. We may come up with adjectives behind verbs in order for the term to sound beautiful, to sound well-arranged, but if our people are not living in a decent manner, in a more respectable manner, then we are tinkering on the periphery. And there is this African term that there are others who would want to chew and swallow on behalf of other people, purporting to represent the very same people. How can you chew and swallow at the same time on behalf of another person? So let's be very careful that when we are talking, we are not talking about them. This is the plea we are giving or we are making to all the institutions. We are talking about ourselves. We are talking about human dignity, human beings. Coming to the issue of decent work versus the informal economy. I come from the developing world, sub-Saharan Africa, Zimbabwe in particular, where 80% of the working population of the active labor market force is in the informal economy. But interestingly, they are bearing the brand of actually bearing the systems in Zimbabwe and looking after every other sector of the economy because of their resilience. Yes, we may shed tears for the informal economy, but it's not of those people's creation. It's about our lopsided policies. I agree with the previous speaker to say that there is always this song and the allusion about foreign direct investment. But if you look at the architecture of the foreign direct investment and how it's crafted, you find that it's always crafted in a system of two economies in one, dual and enclave economies, economy for the poor and the economy for the rich. Nowhere in the world have I noted foreign direct investment that is targeted at the poor. They normally target at the rich, meaning the blue chip companies, so that there's this so-called trickle-down approach. Yet the sieve is so tight that they even water won't trickle down the sieve to the poor. So these are some of the issues that we need to be very careful about as politicians, as corporate heads and as representatives of the people, that we should not promise what we may not necessarily deliver. There was pomp and ceremony regarding the MDGs. Yes, in some countries there were achievements, but to date, some of the countries don't even have an iota of example of where they made the achievements. And before an analytical or microscopic analysis of what we would have achieved through the MDGs, we are talking about the post-2015 development agenda. And we are promising again people that, yes, come post-2015, this is going to be the panacea for all your problems. Are we not creating unnecessary, genuine expectations, whereby in the event that we fail to deliver, we would have created an elastic society where the poor are getting poorer and they are beginning to question, and the rich are getting richer and they are beginning to protect their turf. But in the final analysis, there is going to be anarchy. So what do we do in order to avoid a situation whereby we are creating some kind of a modeling table or modeling platform where the modelers, the clothes they are putting on are not necessarily the clothes they will put on after the event? So the beautiful language we are using, we are pleading as trade unions that let's be real, because under normal circumstances, we indicate left but turn right. But simple road usage will tell you that if you indicate right, left and turn right, there is bound to be an accident. We are creating accidents for societies by our failure to make policy pronouncements and policy implementation, because we are not involving our people in terms of policy formulation, policy implementation, and policy evaluation, simply because we take people as some kind of a laboratory where we use the ordinary people, the suffering masses, those whom we represent, as guinea pigs in order for us to create our own CVs. We have engaged now at a global level the G20, the L20, the UN, thanks to the support from the Commission, interestingly, that we are talking of the inclusive and effective development agenda, where ordinary people are also on the table sharing their concerns with those who have and those who make decisions, rather than those who make decisions trying to decide on behalf of those who do not have, with the understanding that because they have perused a lot of pages in terms of technical know-how, therefore they must also be in the know in terms of people's simple lives. Life does not work like that from a trade union perspective. So we must walk the talk and reduce the informality, which is now at 90% of the global figure in terms of those who are purporting to work, yet they are working under modern day slavery conditions, because the corporate power is actually octopus in nature. It has captured a lot of states, and we speak the language of corporates, whereas we are talking politics. Even as politicians, our national policies are influenced by corporate power. So we are pleading with the politicians, we are pleading with the churches, we are pleading with everyone, including our own members, to say, beware of corporate power. Let's sing from the same hymn book, read from the same page, and come 2015 and beyond, we'll be able to make successes. Thank you.